Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Thursday, October 12th. Week 6 about to kick off here, and of course we'll talk wide receiver cornerback matchups here, dive a little bit deeper for DFS purposes on today's podcast. But I did want to start today by addressing all of these players going to injured reserve. Now, fortunately, it's all short-term injured reserve, but four major viable fantasy options. You have a QB1 when he's on the field in Anthony Richardson. You have the cream of the crop wide receiver in Justin Jefferson. You had a rookie phenom in Devon Achane. And then even James Conner, who, I mean, he wasn't an elite option, but the dude is rock solid. We know that. Like, when he's on the field, he's an RB2 at least, and he has RB1 upside. And there are a lot of folks out there who have more than one of these guys. I'm one of them in one of my home leagues. In a super flex league, I have both Anthony Richardson and Justin Jefferson on the roster. Fortunately, we have 8 bench spots in that league and an IR. So I was able to IR one of those guys, and then I'm just going to keep the other guy on my bench. But this is what I want to address. What if you have more than one of these guys? Or what if you have one of these guys, you don't have an IR spot, and you have a shorter bench? Like, how do we navigate these waters? I've already talked about who's going to benefit, and I'm not really worried about that part. I'm not worried about, like, the KJ Osborns, Raheem Mosterts, Gardner Minshews of the world. That's not today's topic. If you want that topic, you can go back to Tuesday's podcast for waivers. How do we navigate these waters if we have more than one of these guys, or if we have a short bench? Can you actually hold a guy who's injured on those benches? And I think I should preface this with, first and foremost, I'm never going to tell you what to do. I'm never going to tell you what to do. Ultimately, every decision for fantasy purposes is your decision. It's your decision. I'm going to tell you how I play these things. You can take that information. You can use it. You can think I'm full of crap. You can take pieces of it. Honestly, whatever works best for you. You can do that thing the angry fantasy guy says. The angry fantasy guy is something like this: everything Ratcliffe says, I do the opposite, right? Something like that. So you could do that too. I honestly don't care one way or the other. I'm here to just pull back the curtain and show you how I do it. So first and foremost, if I'm in a short bench league would be 5 or even 4 bench spots, which fortunately I'm not, because screw those leagues. Those leagues really limit your skill level, and they really promote a lot more of the luck factor. But if I'm in one of those leagues, let's say you are, 4 bench spots, I can't keep a rostered injured guy on my bench. Can't do it. So if it's Richardson, gotta drop him. If it's Jefferson, I can't drop him, but I would be looking to trade him away if anybody wants to bite on that. And unfortunately, that does mean you might have to sell under market value, but so be it. I think people are willing to pay, though. If it's Achane, same thing. I'd probably want to trade him. If it's James Conner, I would consider possibly even cutting him if nobody wanted to trade for him. And I try to trade Richardson as well. 4 or 5 bench spot leagues with no IR spot. Or if I had an IR spot, but I had more than one of those guys. Why? Because these guys are missing 4 games. Not 4 weeks, 4 games at a minimum. 4 games from now. Today, week 6, that's 1. Week 7, that's 2. Week 8, that's 3. Week 9, that's 4. The earliest these guys can come back is week 10, with the exception of anybody with a bye week, because Miami's bye week is in there. So these guys may not be back until the stretch run of the fantasy football season. Like, best case scenario, they come back, we have 5 weeks left in the fantasy football regular season. If you're sitting at like 2-3, you could be 2-7 at that point. You could be 2-8 in week 11, and you're toast. Like, I realize it sucks to be in this type of position, but we can manufacture wins, and we can put ourselves in a position here to get to that finish line. It's just the problem with a short bench league. So I would likely have to move on from it. If I have 6 bench spots, I can afford to keep one injured guy on my bench. I can't afford to keep two or more. But if it's one of them, and I don't care which one, I'm willing to do that if there's no IR spot. I'm willing to keep one that at least gives me five bench spots to work with. It's not great, but it isn't terrible either. So six bench. If I have eight bench spots, like I said, I'm sitting here in a super flex. I'm going to keep one of them, and it doesn't even matter who I put on IR or not. I'll keep one of them on IR and one of them on the bench. I'm not looking to trade them. If I have six bench spots and two IR guys on my bench, that's too much. I'm going to look to trade them. I may have to drop, you know, the guys who I'd be more willing to drop would be Richardson and Connor, although even Connor I'm a little dicey on. I am not willing to drop Jefferson or Achan. I would have to trade those guys if I'm in that type of predicament. So the shorter the bench spot, the worse off we are. I want at least, I mean, honestly, I want all of my bench spots in a four bench spot league to be occupied by healthy players. I really kind of want all of them in a five bench spot league. In a six bench spot league, I can have one injured player on my bench, but I want those five spots, the remaining five spots with healthy players. The deeper the league, then the more likely I am to have, I could possibly have two. I don't want two on an eight bench spot league, but I get away with it. That's how I'm going to play it. How should you play it? That's up to you. It really is up to you. Should you trade some of these guys away? Potentially, but that's up to you. And you got to make sure you're getting decent enough value in return. Like, if you are giving up Justin Jefferson right now, you better get something good for him. Because if he comes back, and it's still an if, we know what he is. He's an elite fantasy option. If you're getting, you know, when Achan comes back, he has an elite ceiling weekly. So does Richardson. Connor may not, but he's an every week starter, so you got to get fair compensation back. And that honestly is going to depend on your league. Like I've said this many times before, I hate, with a passion, fantasy trade calculators. Yes, FTN Fantasy has one. I don't like it. I don't like every, I don't have to, do I? I'd be lying to you if I was like, yeah, go and use it. It's the best thing ever. I don't like it. Why don't I like it? I have a very specific reason, though. It's nothing against the tool itself. It's well put together. Our guy Tyler Lochner is behind it. He does a great job. Why don't I like it? Because I can't program into that trade calculator my league tendencies for trades. I have one league that is trade crazy. You would think that the winner of this league is not the one who wins the championship game, but is the one who makes the most trades. There are a couple guys in this league, and I'm not joking, who will average, when it's all said and done, over a trade a week. Over a trade a week! I'm in another league, and these are home leagues. That's important because I can't really compare an industry league to a home league. You know, home leagues just have, like, you know, people who are, like, in your leagues. So I'm in another home league. We have not had a trade in 4 years in this league. 4 years! And that year, I think there was one trade. Like, people just don't trade in that league. So in order to trade in that league, I have to go well above market value. I got to offer the sun, moon, and stars. I got to offer my firstborn child. I got to offer just anything, anything and everything I could possibly offer to get a deal done. Whereas in the other league, I mean, come on. I don't have to offer much at all, and deals will get done. I can go below market value. These guys just love to trade. Trade calculators don't account for that. And that's a problem. They assume that every league is the same, and they are not. So you really, first and foremost, need to know your league tendencies. Then beyond that, the number one mistake that people make when they make trades is they just blindly offer. Just shooting out offers left and right. Pew, pew! Shooting out offers. How do you, like, you can cause a lot more damage than good by just shooting out offers. If you shoot out an offer and it's a crap offer, guess what? You've probably closed the door to any deal ever getting done with that person because you probably offended them because it was a crap offer. Instead, like, if you're interested in trading Justin Jefferson away and, like, I don't know, somebody has Kirk Cousins or something like that, I would go to them and say, hey, listen, Jefferson's on the block. Are you interested? And then if they're interested, you open it up from there. You know? That's all you can really do. Or you can tell the whole league, Jefferson's on the block, there's nothing wrong with that. And then people may approach you, and then you take it from there. But blindly sending out offers is one of the worst things you can do. But, you know, got to know your league tendencies first and foremost. Got to open up those discussions and then hopefully get something done. So long story short, that's how I'm handling things if I have Jefferson, Richardson, Achan, or Connor, or some combination of more than one of those guys. All right, let's get into this week's wide receiver cornerback matchup upgrades and downgrades. Reminder, this is for DFS purposes. In season long, we don't go this granular because we don't have to. We're not navigating a field of thousands of lineups. We're not navigating salaries. We're not navigating potential ownership. We're just facing our opponent, or if it's like a points only or whatever. We're still only facing the 11 other teams in our league. So, upgrades, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis. I'm upgrading against the Giants until further notice. Adoree Jackson allowing 14.1 yards per catch. He shadowed Tyreek last week, by the way, so he could be shadowing Diggs. Diggs could be a slate breaker this week. Speaking of Tyreek, love him against Carolina. Dante Jackson on the other side of this thing. He's allowing 18.4 yards per catch. Tyreek Hill has, and I know I mentioned this on the pod earlier in the week, but it bears repeating. He has 5 175-plus yard games with the Dolphins. He's played 22 games with them. That's insane. It's almost a quarter of his games have gone for 175, not 100-plus, 175-plus. Really like Puka Nacua this week versus Arizona. Arizona, interesting last week. Marco Wilson shadowed Jamar Chase. That did not work out very well. Chase torched Wilson in that contest. Wilson leads all corners with 31 receptions allowed on the season. And the way that Cooper Kupp was used, so he was in the slot 58% of the time last week. So Nacua is going to be on the perimeter more. He's the better bet to see more of Wilson. And I kind of dig him more than Cooper Kupp for DFS this week. I like Kupp too, though. Don't get me wrong. Caleb Evans, the corner for the Minnesota Vikings, has allowed 10 catches on 12 targets over the last 3 weeks. DJ Moore should have no problem against him. And we know how good Justin Fields has been when throwing to DJ Moore this season. Drake London, not the best season so far, up and down, but we have seen a good ceiling out of him, and he's going to see a lot of Emmanuel Forbes. He's one of those guys I have circled. Just like go after this dude. He's allowing 20 yards per catch, 74% catch rate on the season. Good spot for Drake London. And then a good spot for DeAndre Hopkins coming off of that big game last week. Brandon Stevens on the other side of this matchup has allowed the seventh most receiving yards, 289 among corners, with a 68% catch rate in his coverage. And Hopkins is going to see him close to half of the time. He's lining up on the left 46% of the time, so he'll go up against Stevens, like I said, about half of his routes. Damari Mathis is really struggling, and it continues here for Denver. Opposing receivers have caught 84% of the targets thrown into his coverage for 13.4 yards per catch and 4 touchdowns. Now, Kansas City, if you're listening to this before Thursday Night Football, yeah, it's tough to completely pinpoint who's going to get the targets among their receivers. But the guy who figures to run the most routes and then line up the most against Mathis would be Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Lines up on the right 38% of the time. So, you know, I don't expect a Pat Surtain shadow in this one. All right, now for the downgrades. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith versus the Jets. The Jets are just awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong. A.J. Brown's been awesome too, 125-plus in each of his last three. But Sauce Gardner, he hasn't allowed over 20 receiving yards in each of his last two games. DJ Reed should be back for this one as well from concussion protocol, allowing just 8.9 yards per catch this season. So it puts a damper on both Brown and Devontae Smith. Terry McLaurin versus Atlanta figures to see A.J. Terrell in shadow coverage this week. He's been really good this season. 59% catch rate, 9.7 yards per catch allowed. 2 weeks ago, he shadowed and really largely shut down Calvin Ridley. Yeah, Ridley got in the end zone, but he only saw 2 targets in that game with Terrell on him. I am not a fan of Cortland Sutton tonight versus Kansas City. He should see L'Jarius Sneed in shadow coverage. Sneed has shadowed in each of the last 4 games. Over that span, he faced Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore, Garrett Wilson, Justin Jefferson. Some pretty tough assignments right there. Now, Justin Jefferson left that game early, but still, he was on him. That group of wideouts on 20 targets, managed just 9 catches against Snead for 84 yards and no touchdowns. Tough spot here for Courtland Sutton. And by the way, there are some rumblings out there that the Broncos could tear this whole thing down, possibly trade away the likes of Jerry Jeudy, maybe Sutton as well. We shall see. Stay tuned on that one. Deron Bland has been awesome stepping up for the Cowboys with Trayvon Diggs out for the season. Allowed 10 catches on 19 targets. He's on the perimeter, so that's Josh Palmer, not Keenan Allen, on Monday night that he puts a damper on. Deamador Lenore, 72% catch rate on the season, which is high, but it's not just catch rate. In fact, I don't really like catch rate as a great indicator. We need to pair catch rate. It can't be used by itself. It's got to be used with yards per catch. So if it was 72% catch rate and like 14.5 yards per catch, it's like, yeah, go after that matchup. But with Lenore, it's a 72% catch rate, but just 9.7 yards per catch. That's he's keeping everything in front of him, disciplined football, avoid that matchup. That's Amari Cooper, by the way, who may also be without Deshaun Watson, so it's a tough one there. The Houston secondary has been pretty good this season, and veteran Steven Nelson has especially stood out. 2 picks, 2 pass breakups so far on the year. His presence puts a major damper on Michael Thomas for DFS purposes. If you want more on the DFS front, ftndaily.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. If you want more on the fantasy front, even the trade, you can use the trade value calculator. I just don't like it. Hey, I'm going to be honest. There's one thing about it. Like, I'm not going to be a snake oil salesman to you. I'm always going to tell you exactly what I see, what I think. And that even means stuff like that that we have on the site. But the thing about FTN is we do want to present, it's not just Jeff's version of fantasy, right? It's we want to have tools and stuff there that people really find useful across the board. Try and, you know, put enough out there that, you know, you could find a lot of value on the site. So you can use it if you want, but I just don't think, I mean, it doesn't take into account our individual leagues. My 2 cents. Anyway, that's enough for me today. I'm going to be back tomorrow breaking down all of the remaining games for you on the podcast. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.